It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We got Luke Morrow sitting in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig and Reginald Adetula still here hanging out with you on a Football Friday supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors. In fact, that Football Friday will continue even once we hand it off to our guys at the drive. Clint and Ron are out, or will rather be out, at Randa Sports Bar on 920 North Shepherd in Houston. That's north of I-10 in the Heights, I believe, right over there.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
In the city.
There you go. In the city. So, yeah, go and see the fellas. Hang out with them. I believe there will be some giveaways, as it seems like there always is. But what it will definitely be is a fun and jubilation and, of course, great sports talk when it comes to the drive with Clint and Ron out there. But right now, let's turn our attention back to Texans Vikings that's coming up on Sunday. It's a noon game at US Bank Stadium in Minnesota. What are the matchups that you are interested in? What are the matchups that you're watching? Again, 713-572-4610 is the number. And I'm interested, Luke. I want to give you the opportunity to get in here. Like, what matchup do you feel strongest about? Because I know for me, one of the things I've talked about all week is I am most interested in this Vikings defense and the challenges that they pose. So those are the things that I'm really looking forward to first and foremost. Is that for you the same?
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to just go through my mind. I mean, I actually, that's what I think is so fascinating about this game. I have a long list of matchups, but I think number one on my list is, to narrow that down a little more specifically, yeah, is Brian Flores against C.J. Stroud and trying to confuse, yeah, the young quarterback, who we know how great C.J. Stroud is and how he seems so far advanced for a guy who's still just starting out his second year. But this is a big test on the road, noisy environment. That hurts communication as well as you're trying to figure out this defense. And Flores is going to try to confuse you and throw a lot of things at you. So for me, that's the biggest matchup, not only in terms of like entertainment value or just how important it is for Stroud, but obviously just for the sake of winning the game. So I think number one is simply just Flores against Stroud, that chess match of, can this good defensive coordinator get this very good quarterback kind of off his spot and uncomfortable on Sunday?
Yeah, and I think that the way that you put it is a good way of doing that. I know that you might default to, you know, Flores versus Slowick in some ways, but Fig, this is where I'd like to go to Bobby Slowick, and this is cut 11 from him, when he was talking about what, you know, his thoughts on the Vikings defense. He made a very particular point that I think is interesting that supports your idea that it's going to be C.J. Stroud himself having to combat some of the complexities of this defense.
Yeah, that's actually, it's funny you say that. Our big thing this week is the challenge about this defense is it's almost like he does everything he can to try to eliminate coaches from the equation. You know, like he creates a lot of chaos. But then behind it all, they're fundamentally sound. They run, they hit, they do all the things the defense needs to do. And for us, like we strain this week, the biggest thing for us is our guys got to go out and they got to own what they're doing. And they like, we have to play well against this defense, you know, and our quarterback is leading the charge on that. And he knows that if we block well, if we throw well, if we're on time, if we're good in our protections, that's what gives us a shot. Otherwise, like the way this defense is structured, there's not things anyone can really cook up as a play caller or as a coach that's going to answer the problems that get presented this week.
Yeah, man, I think that he's I mean, obviously spot on with that, right? Like he's the coordinator of this team. But yeah, I think that that's going to be what's very interesting about it is that C.J. Stroud and Juice Scruggs, who seems like Wolves play, he's practiced earlier today as he did yesterday, so he's set for Sunday, I imagine. But like making sure that those protections are straight because of those simulated blitzes and making sure that everybody knows what the assignment is, that there's a level of communication so that they don't have some of those kind of lapses in protection and now you have somebody barreling towards C.J. Stroud. And I think also when you have the protection up right, you can get the ball out quickly. I think yesterday I said something that I believe to be errant and as I thought about it, because I was thinking about the secondary players for the Vikings and how, you know, they're a little bit older, maybe not the quickest of feet. And I was like, hey, man, you have an opportunity to maybe get them with double moves and those types of things. No, the way that you beat that is get the ball to them quickly and allow the speedsters and the guys that you have to work in space, right? Get the ball to Tank Dell on easy passes. Get the ball to Nico Collins on easy passes, especially because, you know, the Vikings play a lot of zone, especially with, like, two high defenses, get the ball in those spaces, allow these guys to, you know, attack them, and then get plays with their big plays with their legs against the defense that, yes, they tackle well, but can they keep up with the speedsters that you have?
I agree with you, right. I know. They got the mind to be able to try to see those, anticipate some of those moves coming, but that's why you lean more to get the ball in their hands and see if they could keep up. Look, the Vikings have not allowed a play of 30 yards or more on defense. It's only been two games. All the numbers we throw out come from a small sample size, obviously, so far this season, but they have kept teams from being explosive. They have, through those two high safety looks that you mentioned, they've kept teams in front of them, have not given up the big plays. And when you look back, it's been documented, the Texans have never beaten the Vikings. That doesn't come into play Sunday, but if you look back at the last couple matchups, Mike Zimmer, when he was the head coach of the Vikings, ran a similar style of defense to Flores in the sense that might not be the most talented, might not be the most physical, but he's going to try to beat you mentally. He's going to try to confuse you. His whole thing is that double A gap blitz, so you don't know where the pressure is coming from, similar to what Flores tries to do.
Yeah.
And if you go back and you look, you know, Brock Osweiler, not a great quarterback. Our lawyers are coming for him eventually.
Yeah, I need to add him onto the class action lawsuit. Thank you for that reminder.
Sacked four times, fumbled twice against that Zimmer defense in, I think it was 2016. And then Deshaun Watson, I think it was 2020. Sacked three times, fumbled twice against that Zimmer defense. And that was the final game of the Bill O'Brien era. So now you have C.J. Stroud going up against it. And Stroud is a good quarterback. He's a smart quarterback. He listens to Richard Sherman podcasts to pick up on things from the other teams.
Right.
But he's not Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, where you have like 20 years of experience. He's still doing quick math. What is this, his 20th regular season game? So that's where the concern comes in, is if Flores is able to confuse a talented quarterback, but still a young quarterback at that.
Yeah, it'd definitely be you know, incumbent upon him to try and figure it out quickly. But then I think also Bobby Slowick, and I know that he's probably being a little bit humble for himself in that way. I think that it's going to be incumbent on him to try and make it easier on CJ, maybe getting the ball out quicker, especially because this defense from the Vikings pressures quarterbacks incredibly, immensely. And so, if you're holding that football past two and a half seconds, now you end up in this place where he's having to get into the scramble drill, which isn't the worst thing possible. However, it is bad if now you're allowing sacks to happen or throwing up an errant football, which is a possibility, even though I don't think we expect that from CJ Stroud as he's continued to grow into one of the better quarterbacks in this league. All right, another matchup that I'm interested in, if I go to the Texans defense, is let's talk about the Texans' ability to pressure. I think Will Anderson has another one of those matchups on the right side of the defense, the left side of the offensive line, that could allow him to really succeed, because it seems like Christian Darrisaw, the left tackle for the Vikings, has had a little bit of he's struggled a little bit. He's allowed eight pressures already this season, and four of which came quickly, right? And Will Anderson, quick pressure is the name of the game for him as well. So I do think that you can get at Sam Darnold on his left side, his blind side, and you might be able to either sack him, which would be great, but then also just heat him up. And let's see just how real this resurgence has been early on in the season. Let's see how you're doing with the pressure of this, in addition to just, you know, being able to be out there and handle your business.
Yeah, it's for both. I mean, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, it's going to be a fascinating matchup, because you have, as you mentioned, Darrisaw, and then Brian O'Neal on the other side, two talented tackles. So those are really good matchups with the lines and the trenches. And to skip ahead for a moment, I mean, that's one of my matchups, is Sam Darnold against reality.
Like,
does he keep this going? And so the way to try to slow that down or stop Darnold is to get pressure on him. And if those guys can do it, again, especially without having to blitz, obviously is always the key when you can pressure the quarterback without having to blitz. But if I'm the Texans, look, I know they blitzed more than maybe usual last week against a young quarterback in Caleb Williams. They faced Anthony Richardson, young quarterback, maybe was a little overwhelmed. Caleb Williams, young quarterback, maybe a little overwhelmed. Sam Darnold's not a young quarterback in age or years in the league, but I still look at him as that young quarterback. He's not an established, again, to go back to Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow. So I don't know how you feel, but I mean, I would blitz a lot on him too, or try, if you could get pressure without blitzing, obviously that's ideal. But my point being, get after him, get him off his spot, make him uncomfortable, and that's when Darnold might turn back into a pumpkin on Sundays, if you could be around his feet in the pocket.
Yeah, I think that really could be a possibility that helps this defense out. And I think the nice thing about it, which we've documented pretty well on the station, is the idea that, hey, you having cornerbacks, particularly Derek Stingley, that you feel confident if you were in man, if they're kind of out there handling their business without a ton of support, right? you can then utilize more assets forward on blitzing and those types of things, and that's what you've seen early. Yeah, I think that that could be something that they continue to mix in there, right? Because you have Kamari Lassiter, who has played well, especially with the cushion that he plays with. And then, of course, Derek Stingley, who that's another matchup. Is he going to be in that same boat like he was with DJ Moore, where he is following Justin Jefferson, right? Like, this is a wide receiving core that's better than any of the other ones that you've played thus far, so maybe they don't go exactly to that place and they play more, not to say that they don't play cohesive when they blitz and those things, but more cohesive as a defense against the likes of Justin Jefferson, Addison, all the guys that they're bringing to the table. But I do think that poses a chance to maybe see another strength-on-strength matchup of seeing Derek Stingley and really earn his respect that he's starting to get against one of, if not the best wide receivers in the game. And if he can handle up one-on-one, that then again allows you to get to try at least to get to Sam Darnold, apply pressure. Because one of the things for him and the reasons why he's been successful early, get this, man. According to Next Gen Stats, he has the fourth lowest tight window percentage, which means he's had more wide open throws when it comes to the target that he's throwing to than I think you could probably expect from many other situations. So I think that, hey man, if you make that a little tougher on him, and then if you're a man where that ends up being a closer window, is he able to be as accurate? Is he able to be as good throwing the football? I'm interested to see what that looks like.
That's the whole key to the Darnold success in this Vikings offense, is that, and we see this with a lot of quarterbacks now. I mean, Brock Purdy, people always talk about in San Francisco, is just making them comfortable, making it so simple on the quarterback that it's almost like a one read. You script up such good plays, receivers are open. You know, they always said the difference between college and the NFL, college you threw to open receivers, in the NFL you have to throw guys open. But with these play callers now, Tua in Miami, Brock Purdy, obviously Sam Darnold now, they have so many open receivers so often that the plays are just easier for them. Sam Darnold this year, 8 for 8 when blitzed. He's completed all 8 pass attempts, but he's been blitzed the fourth fewest times in the league. So again, make him uncomfortable. Get pressure on him. But I'll segue to what you were just saying too about Stingley, because that's another one of those matchups, obviously, that I'm looking forward to. 100%. Stingley against Justin Jefferson. And you touched on it, but I would just ask you, I mean, do you anticipate? Do you think he would follow Justin Jefferson or play sides on Sunday?
I think that in order to get more of that blitzing capability, I think that he might follow him a little bit. I think that this is the tough thing, is you can't follow a little bit, right? I imagine if you do that, you're going to commit to that. And I don't know, I'm a little bit more afraid of that than what you saw with the Bears, right? The Bears were in a very particular, unique situation. They didn't have Keenan Allen, so they didn't have the full complement. You felt a little bit more comfortable saying, whatever's happening on the backside, with all due respect to Roma Dunze, we can handle that with the remainder of what we have in the defensive secondary, right? We feel good about Kamari Lassiter. We feel good about the likes of Jimmy Ward, Kalen Bullock, Eric Murray even, or that's, you know, been playing in that way. Like, we feel good about them handling those things. Does that still hold when you talk about the likes of Jordan Addison? And maybe if you're like, hey, we'll do that, and if Jordan Addison has the opportunity to try and make some big plays, that's fine, because we know that we're going to have Danielle Hunter, we're going to have Will Anderson barreling down on Sam Darnold. So I went a long way around just to go, I think that I would like to see them continue that. I'd like to see them continue to utilize Derek Stingley on Justin Jefferson, one up, man up, and then allow you to continue to use more of your assets to go after Sam Darnold and make him uncomfortable. Because again, I don't trust the resurgence as far as I can throw it right now. I think that if you heat him up, he will turn back into a pumpkin.
By the way, Jordan Addison has not practiced the last 2 days. The Vikings have not put out their practice report yet today, but he might not be available. You're kind of catching the Vikings at a good time too, because no TJ Hockenson to worry about. Maybe no Jordan Addison. Justin Jefferson's a little banged up. And then they're coming off that emotional win of the 49ers of, okay, let's see how real this team is. Can you follow that up and put forth another good effort without an emotional letdown Sunday at home? So you're kind of catching the Vikings at a good time. But yeah, Stingley and Justin Jefferson, if they do lock up, that would be certainly something to watch. And admittedly, I think it's that old cliche that they always used to use in basketball. Like, you can't stop him, you only hope to contain him.
Yeah.
I think even the best cornerbacks, I don't think you can stop. I don't think anyone in the league can stop Justin Jefferson. You just hope to try to slow him down and not have that monstrous game.
And there's been a little conversation about Derek Stingley thus far in his first 2 games. How have you felt about him? Because I know I have a little bit of that perspective when it comes to cornerbacks, especially when you're out there. Like, it's impossible to be perfect, especially in this league that we've created where rules tend so much towards the offense. And so maybe I'm trying to gauge for myself, am I being too lenient on him? How have you felt about his performance early? Because I know there's been some folks that have been not completely plus, the non-plus in some way.
Yeah. Well, in general, big fan. I really like him. I think he's going to be really good for a long time. I did not like his performance Sunday night against DJ Moore. And I thought if there was a more competent quarterback, I think he could have gotten burned sometimes. Sure. But Caleb Williams, I thought, especially watching it back, missed some opportunities. So I don't think that was his best night. Now, you know, every week is its own thing. It's its own bubble. Each week is separate. So he might go out there and ball out on Sunday. I think he's really good. I'm a big fan. I just didn't think Sunday was his best performance. Maybe this Sunday will be his best performance of the year, and they might need that against Justin Jefferson.
I think that that's fair. I mean, a 75% Justin Jefferson is still Justin Jefferson in my mind. So, yeah, that's Luke Morrow, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atatula, hanging out with you in the Loop, Sports Radio 610 on a Football Friday, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Coming up next, let's get into the lunchtime confessions.